You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wole, and I'm joined by my co-host Ray Jeezy, and we are Ray's in all dark. Now Ray's back. You got to stop messing with your camera, bro. Stop it. We are part of Empire Media.com. What's up, Ray? Thumbs up, bro. What's good?
I'm good, man. Let's see. Here we go. Let's see how good we are. Right, go yes, ahead. Sir. Let's go.
Oh man,
I'm full of love today, bro.
Full of love, bro. What's going on, man? What's going on, bro? What's going on, man? We're here. We're in the building early.
I'm excited about tonight. I'm trying to see how much conversation this is going to generate, because I think I'm going to make a compelling argument. And you know what? I got some receipts. I'm just letting y'all know now.
For what you mean, like against me or receipts for people?
No. Commanders in general. I'm just going to present an argument. I'm not necessarily pro one way or the other. I'm going to say for now.
Got you.
I'm just telling you, I'm going to present an argument tonight. And I'm going to present a case tonight.
A case.
And I'm interested to see how people are going to respond to that. That's all I'm saying.
I hope people open listening with an open mind. That's all I care about, bro. Because I have an argument too, and I think it's a fair argument as well in terms of what I think. So
I think it's a fair argument. Paul checking in.
You know what I'm saying? Oh yeah, Paul ready. Oh, what's up? What did Paul say? I didn't even see. Oh, he said, what's up? What's going on, Paul, man?
What's up, homie? Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I just hope when we talk about what we talking about, folks got an open mind and ready to listen. But anyway, I mentioned Empire Media. Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kine Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Kine, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. Just search The Urban Sports Scene.
Also, hit us up on YouTube, man. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button if you're watching us on YouTube now. Check out our other platforms on X at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene. And go to Facebook and hit us up at our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page.
And also join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Excuse me. Let's get into our tradition. The pregame. Here's what we have on tap. We'll debate whether Washington should draft Marvin Harrison Jr. over drafting Drake May or Jaden Daniels. Then at 8:30, we'll talk about the Washington Wizards benching Jordan Poole. And then finally, we'll talk about Devin Haney scheduled to fight Ryan Garcia on April 20th, Al Jones from WFNZ 92.7 FM radio in the ring with Al Jones will join us to talk about this fight. All right, let's get right into it, Ray. I mentioned in the pregame, the Washington Commanders fan base have been clamoring for North Carolina quarterback Drake May or LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels. However, Ohio State wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr., who ain't even attending the combine, might be the best prospect in the entire draft. Do you think Washington should consider taking Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Hey, first of all, I'm going to give a shout out to my man POV Mason. He's watching on Facebook. Cam Mingo, what's good, fam? And Taj, I see you. This is about to be dope, though, Taj, because first of all, I want to say this. If you're going to take Marvin Harrison Jr., if you're going to draft him, the assumption is that the Commanders are going to keep Sam Howell. Is that a reasonable assumption?
That's a reasonable assumption, yeah.
And here's the thing, bro. I'm going back on X. I'm going to check out my page. Matter of fact, hit me up on X too if you can, at @UrbanSports_Ray. And I got some receipts.
Yeah.
Because this was just a few months ago. Mm-hmm. So I got the first post from October 30th.
Gotcha.
Sam Howell is giving Washington his most promising quarterback play since you know who was the quarterback one from 2015 to 2017.
Gotcha.
Must see more.
Yeah.
Another person, Sam Howell, is mobile and can make any and all throws on the football field. The more he plays, the more complete he's becoming. As a Commanders fans, it's exciting to see him as potentially our franchise QB. Sam Howell is the team's franchise quarterback going forward. You can sit here and watch this and think with even more experience how good he really can be. He's a guy you can build around this offseason 100%. Let's stop the debate. This is all from November and October. Sam Howell has the most completions in the NFL, the second most passing yards, and the most TDs in the NFL the last five games. People were loving Sam Howell just a few months ago. So my point is you can't trust fans, first of all. Because now all these same folks, if you watch, they're good. I've been retweeting some of this stuff, reposting some of it just to say, okay, Sam Howell could potentially be good because you already said he could.
Yeah.
Okay. So on top of that, Marvin Harrison Jr. looks like a guy who can have an immediate impact. And I told you when I started the show, I'm not necessarily making a case for either one. But what I'm saying is Marvin Harrison Jr. can have a quick impact once he's drafted. So let's start with recent wide receivers that have had an impact right away. Let's go back to 2020, Justin Jefferson. I know you're going to mention him. His rookie season, 88 receptions, 1,400 yards, 7 TDs. 2021, Jamar Chase, 81 receptions, 1,455 yards, 13 TDs. Garrett Wilson, who was his quarterback? Just remember that. Yeah, 83 receptions, 1,103 yards, 4 TDs. And in last season, Zay Flowers, 77 receptions, 858 yards, 5 TDs. This is four rookie receivers who Marvin Harrison Jr. may be better than or comparable to. So if you get him, the assumption is he'll have an immediate impact on his football team. So if you can stretch the field, then you can get him. A lot of people may say you don't need him. Well, the Cowboys didn't need CD. They had Amari Cooper, but they took him. Atlanta had Roddy White. They took Julio Jones. And it worked out. And people started noticing, okay, you draft the most talented guy at that spot, then it might just work out. I'm not saying this is going to happen. Go ahead.
Look at POV, bro. And Chase helped lead the Bengals to the Super Bowl.
Hey, listen. I'm just saying, I'm not making a case for Marvin.
While winning Offensive Rookie of the Year. Look. All right, so you get me hyped now. You get me hyped. I'm not going to hold you. I want everybody to understand this. Off the rip, anybody who's hear me on X or see me on any social platform, I like Drake May. Like, I like Drake May a lot. Like, I think Drake May could be one of the best quarterbacks out of this draft. Really, I really do. I really do. But we're talking about, Ray, every time we hear about the draft, it's like for Washington, it's like, man, they always get positioned player by need. How about get the best player in the draft? And the best player, arguably, in the draft, because you're not going to get Caleb, the best player in the draft to me is Marvin Harrison Jr. Sometimes as fans, we overthink everything. Like, we overthink it. Off the rip, when this dude came on the football field and got an opportunity to play football and play substantial snaps, he was the best player on the field 9 times out of 10. I'll give you an example. Georgia, look at that Georgia squad he played against. They had two pro NFL players, cornerbacks. He burnt all of them. And that's the CJ Stroud was his quarterback. He burnt all of them. Them dudes that everybody thought had first-round grades, Marvin Harrison Jr. went up in them, and they could do nothing with Marvin Harrison Jr. Nothing. So off that alone, it shows you that his style transitions just out, not just in the Big Ten, because you could say Big Ten, they don't have cornerbacks to play to check him. He was busting the SEC's you-know-what cornerback play in a bowl game. Like, so to me, when I look at Marvin Harrison Jr., he is the art. Like, if we're talking about getting the best player in the best player in the draft, you can get him at number two, because the Bears are going to probably trade the pick or keep the pick and probably get Caleb Williams. So you're going to get the best player in the draft. This is my always, like, folks are saying, well, you need a quarterback. It's about quarterback. Would you rather have, like, you name all those dudes, would you rather have Justin Herbert, who I love Justin Herbert, over Jefferson? Would you?
It's a compelling argument. Cam Mingo said you can't mess up with the number two pick. You got to take a quarterback. This is the best QB class in a long while versus POV said, I would draft Marvin Harrison Jr.
He's a generation. So this, let me go to Cam. Let me talk to Cam when Cam said that. So this is my thing with Cam. How is it the best quarterback class in a long time? This is why I'll say this. The only two quarterbacks that were talked about being – I think it's funny. The only quarterbacks that were talked about prior to the season of college football was Drake May and Caleb Williams. Truth be told, more Caleb Williams. No one was talking about Daniels before the season in terms of being a first-round pick. No one was talking about him. So the point I'm making is that when the season starts next year and how it plays out, then we're going to come up with a new player. Like, next year, you're going to have Shador. Shador is going to be out there next year. And there's going to be somebody else that wows everybody, and then he'll be the player that people talk about. So we can't just come out and say he's going to, like, this is the best quarterback class we've seen. It all changes. It changes. It changes every time. Look, bro, look at – I'm a Michigan fan. Look how they got J.J. McCarthy at. J.J. McCarthy is now a first-round pick. I don't think J.J. McCarthy is a first-round pick, period. I don't think he's a first-round pick in multiple drafts. So for me, this for you, for anybody to tell me this has been the best – one of the best quarterback drafts in ages, it's not to me. Like, you have two quarterbacks, in my opinion, that from off the rip have always had that chatter. I'm going to say it. Drake May and Caleb Williams are the only two dudes who had that chatter off the rip. Off the rip. That's it. So in terms of a big quarterback class, this isn't the quarterback class that we've seen in the past. We haven't. So to me, the generational talent here, the player here, like the true generational talent other than Caleb Williams for real, is Marvin Harrison Jr. That's a generational talent. That's a dude that you can't make. Like, you would have to draw him up for you to draw him up on Madden or make him out in Madden to create a player like this. Real talk. Like, you got a 6'4 wide receiver, runs great routes, got great hands. Like, to me, this is a player that automatically makes you better. He is comparable when we talk to Jefferson. Like, he's comparable to Jefferson. And would you not want a Jefferson on your squad? And this is the thing. We talk about, because everybody talks about you need a quarterback. Look what happened in Cincinnati. I'm a prime example. We do need a quarterback. Look what happened in Cincinnati. Joe Burrow goes down. Browner comes in. Jamar Chase is making him look good. T Higgins is making him look good. Those two dudes are making Browner look good. Those two dudes. When Browner was beating big time teams. All I'm saying is, like, yo, we got to, like, when you got generational talent like that, look, even Paul said it. Look what Paul said. He's better than Jefferson. What are we doing here?
All right. So,
if you feel
so,
this
so
way, what are we doing here?
We got stuff on both sides, though. I just want to say that. So, first of all, POV definitely was saying, of course, Marvin Harrison Jr., he pointed out that no other receiver had as much success against Michigan corners. However, yes. He also pointed out that Drake May is ready to play right now. FYI.
He is, though. Yeah, facts. He's facts.
And here's my man, Taj. He said, hey, but it won't work. I can't see the team drafting Marvin. Number two, the pick is too valuable, but unfortunately, Marvin won't last past five because Arizona will draft him at four. Possibly. And then he also said the next QB class won't be as deep as this one and will cost you more assets to move up to a further spot. George. He chimed in there. He said Drake May won't be ready to play for another 2-3 years. That's his again. These are all great comments, and this is the discourse we wanted because you got to get this pick right. It's so important for this franchise, especially for you guys that are Washington fans. Most of you who are chiming in are, if not all, except for me. And I'm just laughing. I'm just laughing because it's tough. Do you take the best player or do you take the biggest need? And his quarterback, the biggest need. If Sam Howell is the guy that people thought he was up until the season went awry when the whole team was bad, then
this maybe is my thing. Harrison, this is my thing. Right you pick, get maybe this not. Is this is my thing, and this is why I bring up some of those other quarterbacks. Is that when you got a dude like Marvin Harrison Jr., he's gonna make you better. Like, all right, think about this. We all love Terry. Terry is a phenomenal. Yeah, I don't think he's the next. George, I don't agree with that, but it's okay though. It's okay. We agree to disagree. I'll say this much: like when you have a like I love Terry. I'm going back to my point. I love Terry. I love Terry. But on the flip, but when you throw a ball up to a 6'4" dude who can jump and get it, rather than a guy who's about 6 foot, it's easy. It's an easier pass for a quarterback. Like Sam doesn't have. If it's Sam Howell or whoever your quarterback is. It doesn't have to be the perfect pass when you're throwing to Marvin Harrison. It really doesn't because he's able to catch a contested pass a little bit easier than Terry McLaurin can. So when you have a guy like that, what makes life easy, a big body wide receiver, which this team doesn't have and does desperately need, when you have a guy like that and who can run routes, bro, like to me, you're going to make a quarterback look better. So if Sam Howell rates, to your point, if like all those comments you made about Sam Howell, right, that he has potential, you add in a Marvin Harrison Jr., you don't think he makes Sam Howell better? I just mentioned which old boy did with Jamar Chase did for the backup quarterback in Cincy and T. Higgins, what they did for him in Cincy. You don't think you don't think that Marvin Harrison Jr. doesn't make Sam Howell better? Like Sam Howell could throw, like he could throw the ball up. Sam Howell can now those passes, real talk, those passes that were overthrown. for a six foot four dude, now he can jump and get it. Like, they're not overthrown. They can go, he can go jump and get it.
We are split right now amongst the listeners. We got a lot of advocacy from Marvin Harrison Jr. today, which is dope. Hey, Taj, man, I appreciate you, bro, because something that Taj said, I'm going to bring up, just because, again, I'm playing both sides tonight, fam.
Yeah, got you.
He said, as everyone acts like QB is the only position that can have buzz, didn't we say the same thing about Chase, that he was a can't miss? Everyone can flop. Now, here's what I'm going to say this. I point out these recent receivers who have had great success. Also the Jerry Judy's and the Henry Ruggs of the world that people will say, oh, and I could have threw Jalen Waddle in there too, because Jalen Waddle's had great success on the jump. And Tua stayed. Remember, Miami fans wanted to get rid of Tua, but you stuck with him. He got a receiving core, and look what he did. Now, but to those who think that the receiver position can be a bust, I agree with that, Taj, totally. What do you say to that, Wole? Because there is a risk no matter what when you're taking guys at the top of the draft.
So this is what I was saying. There's a risk no matter what. When you look at pedigree and you look at consistency and you look at the trends. So be real. Let's keep it buck. So let's add everything Marvin did. He produced against top level talent. That's one in college. He's got good pedigree. His father's Marvin Harrison. So he's learned well, right? And he's performed on Saturdays. That's three. Also, he went to Ohio State. Look at the track record of Ohio State. If you want to even erase the other three that I mentioned, look at Ohio State's track record with top receivers over the last 3 years. Real talk. And then if you put all that together, you would think to yourself that he is going to be that guy. You mentioned Garrett Wilson. Who is his quarterback, right? Kid from New Orleans. I liked him a lot. He balled.
Olave. Okay.
Balled as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, most of these Ohio State, I'm a Michigan fan. I hate to say it, but it's the truth. Ohio State produces dog wide receivers. Even the kid in Seattle. The kid in Seattle like that. You know what I'm saying? As a slot receiver.
Okay.
Harrison is
Taj. Now, Taj, I appreciate this comment. And also, Cam, he came back. He said that there's some receivers in free agency. Cam, I would love for you to give us some names just for clarity.
The best one, T. Higgins. I'm gonna be real. The best one, T. Higgins, got franchised. That's the one that fits with Washington needs, and he got franchised.
I'm not gonna lie, man. Like I said, it's semi-split, but I see more Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best player. Period.
He is the best player, though. Thank you. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Nick. Yeah, he's in Seattle. Was like that. He liked that. Everybody, look. Ohio State produces dogs over the last like 4 years, 4 or 5. They've been producing dogs. And then you have the best of the crop. Their best receiver is coming.
So does LSU, though.
Look. I ain't say that. But their best receiver is coming out. Out of all those dudes I just mentioned, Ridley's out. But Ridley's not 6'4". They need a tall receiver. That's what I'm like. They need a tall receiver. I like Ridley a lot.
Ball is wild, bro.
No, I'm saying I need a tall receiver. Like, all I'm saying is, like, you got, like, the fans here have been complaining, like, we don't have a tall receiver. We don't have a tall receiver. Bro, you got a 6'4 receiver that could do it all.
Justin Jefferson is going to cost. Marvin Harrison is going to be on a rookie deal. I would definitely draft. If you're going to go receiver, you might as well draft
him. Jim Nance, you got him. Like, you look, I'm just telling you, it's not a knock. Look, like POV said, it's not a knock on what Terry is doing. I think a lot of times people say, we got Terry. But when you got one of them where you can throw the ball up and go get it, it's different, bro. It's a different vibe. The dog, we grew up, right? We grew up with the Randy Mosses, the Megatrons. When you got a guy to say, go up and get it, not just he runs good routes, because he does that well, does that as well, but go up and get it too, man. Come on. My thing is that people, I know we need a, I'm with y'all. I know we need a quarterback. I'm not going to say we don't need a quarterback. But my thing is that if you have a generational talent right there, that's there too. Is May generational talent? Is Jaden Daniels a generational talent? Because if Jaden Daniels was a generational talent, he would have been killing off the rip in college. You know what I'm saying? He needed a system, had to work out for him, is what he was. I'm not saying he's bad. With the right coach, he can be good. But I'm telling you, Marvin is generational talent. Marvin is like from college, from day since he stepped on the field in Ohio State, he was one of them.
the wide receiver position may be the easiest position to fill in the draft. I had to choose between QB or wide receiver. I'm taking QB, as Wole just named. There has been good wide receivers in the draft for 7 years. People are brainwashed. Well,
thank you, bro.
Here's the thing.
There's a different. All right, so Randy, there's no rant. I guess my thing, and I, you know, Todd, you my dude. Is there like, how, if you can draft Randy Moss over an average wide receiver, would you draft the Randy Moss over a good wide receiver?
Randy Moss. Todd does have a point, because we name a lot of good receivers, which means they're always there in the draft.
Yeah, but they're not them. Like, I get it's you, cool. They're good, but they're not
it's
them.
It's cool. Yeah. But what I like what you said is about size, because most teams that have had a tandem, they've had one guy like a DeSean Jackson type, and then they've also had that big guy, Larry Fitzgerald, Anquan Boldin type of scenario. You talked about Russell Wilson.
He's not ready.
Interview recently, Courtland Sutton was a big target. Somebody he could throw the ball up to and feel comfortable getting that rock to him and say, you know what, I know my guy's going to go get it. But you know what though, Terry, at his size, is still proven to be a pretty good receiver. But y'all saying he's not number one now. Is the narrative the same on Sam Howell? Because I told you, I pointed out a lot of different messages on X that said Sam Howell was that guy a few months ago. And then, like I said, the entire team sort of struggled.
Go ahead, Ray. I'm sorry. I had to say it.
You're fine. Anyway.
You got to watch. Taj, I've been watching this dude.
Oh, my bad.
He's one of them, Taj. I'm serious. But go ahead, Ray. I'm sorry.
No. I was going to this comment. With this staff, running back with Sam and drafting Marvin Harrison Jr., they're going to go at least 500. So next year, we could draft your draft 15 to 17 range, and you're not drafting a quarterback there again.
You think they're going to go 500? Like, all right, so this thing, you think?
He said at least 500. They didn't go 500 this year, so he said it's going to be an improvement.
So this is the thing. I don't know. Like, so what do you think? All right, so they draft. Oh, so, Brandon, I'm going to ask you this question. If they draft a quarterback, what do you think the record's going to be? If they do draft a quarterback,
That's a good question.
I'm interested with that. What would you think the record's going to be? Because I'm on the side of saying I think they're not. This is not a couple year program. I don't think they're going to turn around off the rip. Like, I think you can get a quarterback next year draft. I don't even know they'll be that great coming up next year anyway. Regardless, so I do think you can get a Marvin. You can get a quarterback next year in the draft. You can be a top five. Like, it's a possibility. I think people get fit. And what happened? And on the flip side, what happens if Sam Howell looks really good with Marvin Harrison? Then what? I get the conversation of, like, yeah, they're gonna go 500. But what if Sam Howell looks way better with Marvin and Terry
Jahan?
Kingsbury as a caller. What if that? All I'm saying is that my thing is, when we're talking about generational talent. Like, because this was going to happen. This could happen. I can hear it now. I'll put this out there. Folks, would you rather have – I think this is better, because I think he's been a real good quarterback, and he was here. Would you rather have Kirk Cousins or Ja'Marr Chase? His stats are really good.
Terry being doubled. Go ahead, bro.
Read this.
Michael Ward again. Hey, appreciate you, brother, for your comments. The one thing about Terry is people fail to realize that he was being double teamed most of the year because most teams knew Washington did not have the best receiving core, and Terry was the go-to guy. Interesting. That would change if you have a Marvin Harrison Jr. Of course. Most importantly, you need to protect Sam Howell. Definitely
Chase all day.
You got to protect Sam Howell. But see, if you think about this number two pick, guys. And I said this many times before. The last time you had the number two pick, you took Chase Young. Chase Young looked like it was a really good fit for a minute, and then it didn't pan out. And it's important that you get this right. Quarterback has been a position of inconsistency for the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I can understand fans especially say, we got to get a quarterback. But do you take that over a generational talent? That's the thing. It's like when my team Atlanta traded up to get Michael Vick. He was a generational talent. They had to, man. And granted, Atlanta just a few years before just went to the Super Bowl with Chris Chandler at quarterback. Yes. But they knew
very good point.
That this dude was a good game
point.
Changer.
That's a good point.
And the thing was, that wasn't even Dan Reeves type of quarterback.
Yeah.
So sometimes, even if it's not the guy you necessarily want, you can't pass on him. Like I said, I mentioned a couple of examples: CeeDee Lamb, The Cowboys didn't need CeeDee Lamb, according
to
experts.
No, they didn't need CeeDee Lamb. Yes, they did not. That's true. They didn't need
him. Atlanta had Roddy White. They took Julio Jones anyway, man. And the results were there. So it's a tough one. I'm glad I'm not in that position to make the decision. But if you look at what Dan Quinn has been saying, if you look at these comments that have been coming out of the combine, if you had to ask
it's
me,
like quarterback.
It looks like quarterback. It looks like quarterback.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I will say some of my brothers saying, I kind of like it though. Cause I don't think you get Marvin at two. Cause I don't think you can draft him at two. To be real with you, I think that is like kind of for a quarterback spot, but I do think you can trade back like with New England or whoever, try to get a good high second rounder and then draft Marvin. I think you can trade back and draft Marvin. Like you could trade up to down to four and draft Marvin and be like, okay, I'm good. I can get Marvin. You can go that route.
Just FYI, we are like a minute over in this discussion. Cool. We can keep going. We can transition to Jordan Poole. You let me know.
I'll tell you when.
Okay.
We can read some comments real quick, and then I'll.
Okay,
I actually want to pull out this poll that I tried to.
Okay.
Here you go. So we did have a poll. It says, should the Commanders draft Marvin over May?
Arizona.
Or Jaden Daniels? It was 30% said yes and 70% said no. So the majority in the poll is pro quarterback. Yeah.
I said this
Four. Yeah, I know. Arizona would take him at four. That's true. Arizona would take him at four. They would have to trade with New England. They would have to trade with New England.
I hope Cam is still here. I want to know how patient though is his fan base. Because you draft the rookie quarterback, more than likely, there's gonna be some growing pains. Will. You're gonna have another season where you're probably not the best now. You're hoping that Dan Quinn can get this defense to a place where the defense is gonna be so good that you will compete regardless of what your offense does. That's what the really good defenses do. We saw the Jets compete last season in many games because their defense was that good. So Do you want that type of season where you have a young quarterback potentially go through some growing pains, you have a really good defense, you have hope for the future, or do you want to compete now? I think if you want to compete now, you're going to go receiver. If you are planning for the future, then you're going to go Marvin Harrison. You're going to go quarterback.
They're both future players to me, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think – we all get like, all right, for instance, if you draft a quarterback, like we can get bus receivers, right? But if you draft a quarterback and he's not him, and he could be okay, he's not bad, but he ain't him, then what? You know what I'm saying? Then what? When you have a guy that can automatically do it for
zero
you.
Patience.
You know what I'm
saying? Cam, you said it, bro. You said it. That's what I'm saying. I mean, but it's not all about the fans. Like I said, the fans are going to switch up from week to week. Cam, I'm going to show you love because you even when it comes to Washington, the Wizards, I mean, you're consistent.
Cam,
no matter what. Injuries, no matter how difficult the season is, you're like, you know what, let's let the process play out. Yeah. Let's see how this will turn out.
Cam is consistent, bro. He's consistent.
There was somebody else who hit me up earlier. It's like, we have tape on Sam Howell in the NFL being successful.
Yeah,
we do not know what these other QBs will bring to the table. We know what Sam brings to the table. You get Marvin Harrison Jr. with him, that could be a difference maker. So that's a compelling argument. But my man Taj said, F the fans as a whole, the fans.
Taj, I'm with you. I ain't gonna hold you, Taj. You're right.
Well, see, that's
I will be with Taj with that joint, those dog.
Receipts. That's why I pulled out the receipts because I'm like, so many people were high on Sam Howell in November, and then again the entire season. Went left. It wasn't just Sam Howell that started to struggle. It was because the entire team was starting to struggle, and the morale was just bad. The coaching, that entire culture is gone. Yeah. So you guys got to think about Sam Howell with a new coordinator, like Wole said, and with a new owner, just a new roster around him. Definitely. I think it might be different.
If the Bears pass on Caleb, do we draft? Yeah, definitely. I'm not going to play with you. Yeah, definitely.
Hey, what's good, bro? He said Kato will be gone at number two, most likely. So if I was watching, I'd draft Jaden Daniels. And mind you, Samori is a Giants fan. So, hey.
Oh, is he?
Hey,
oh.
I was rocking with Samori the other day. Samori, what you say? You said, no matter how bad the Giants are, we find a way to beat the Commanders. So
that's
trash. So I don't know if you thinking about that as you made that comment. But do you want to face Jaden Daniels as a Giants fan twice?
They probably do. Quiet. Quiet as kept. I found the Bears. They should draft Marvin. I think they should. I can hold you. Taj, I'm gonna keep it a buck. I agree with you, Taj. I totally agree. Because I think Justin Fields and Marvin can rock with DJ Moore. I think they can rock. So I do agree with you.
I like Sam Howell. The issue with the coaching staff.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Okay. Yeah. So let's go like real quick. I know this is like, cause there are a lot of people comments and I don't want to like shut them out. I agree. I do agree with that. Like, I do think that it looks like with bringing Anthony Lynn, they're going to run the ball a little bit more. And I think that's better for Sam Howell. So I do, that's what I'm saying. Like, or any quarterback they have, you got Brian Robinson.
Okay, Joe. Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you got Brian Robinson. I think he'll run the ball and he'll make it easier for the rookie quarterback or Sam Howell. So to your point, I do think that Sam Howell could be good with this new staff. And that's why I guess to be real with you, I'm cool with getting Marvin. Cause I do think that you're not going to put so much on Sam Howell if he's the quarterback to carry the team. Cause you'll have Brian Robinson utilize him. Then you got play action. You got Marvin. You're going to probably get Marvin and Terry. One of them is going to get one-on-one. It'll probably be Marvin off the rip. He's a rookie. Marvin one-on-one. I don't care who you are, pro, college, or whatever. That's a win for Marvin.
Joel Sanders, hey, thanks for checking in on Facebook. Trade for Justin Fields, the first I've heard of that today, and get Marvin number two.
You know what? I ain't mad at that either.
It depends on what you yeah. Hey, Todd, chill, man. You wild. Look, I have not heard a lot of people want Fields.
They have.
But Fields, you saw what he can do when he has time. He's growing. He's got he improved from one year to the next. I'm okay with that too. Now, yeah. So if you get Fields and you get Marvin, you got the Ohio State connection. You got Terry. And then you got the Big Ten overall. You got Jahan. Listen, you're gonna run the ball more effectively when you got Justin behind center. There's no bad scenarios. I think even Sam Howell's going
to sign Derrick Henry to help Howell and draft. I like Brian Robinson. I mean,
Marvin Harrison is winning this. I don't care what the poll on X is. Yeah. Tonight,
I like Brian. Harrison, I ain't gonna lie. I like Brian Robinson, but you know, I ain't gonna never be mad with Derrick Henry. But I like Brian Robinson. Yeah.
He said they come DC reopen dreaming for or club.
Hey, go. Hey, Taj, chill out, dog. Chill out.
Hey, Taj, we at Checkers, baby. On Checkers Avenue.
Yeah, the win. Checkers. Go ahead, bro. Go ahead. You know. You know they shut down the Wendy's.
That was before Zanzibar, man.
Hey, I know.
See, Taj always throws us all with the club talk, man.
I know. Look, he does. He does.
I'm too old to be in the club at this point. But if the Commanders are winning, do you know how fire the city is, though? That's the real thing. So that's why I said you got to get it right.
Yeah.
Paul said we tripping. Marvin Harrison Jr. is winning right now. Though.
He is, though, man. He is. He's winning. Here you go. My Giants are trash. Yes, as a Giants, I love to see Jay dance on my team. Washington has the same problem as Giants.
True. Real talk. And the bad thing, Samori, your team gave your quarterback the bag, man.
Yeah.
The Giants, they paid Daniel Jones the bag. They called about the walk, my guy.
Yeah.
So,
my guy, yes, your best player is about to walk because you gave some bum the bag.
You got to get this quarterback thing right. And Sam Howell to me ain't bad, but what do I know for real? Well,
we got now.
You have stated your case, and the people are with you tonight, my guy.
I appreciate them, man.
Hey, Taj, I think you might have crossed over to that side, too.
I'm trying to convert Taj. That's my guy, man. You know, Taj my dude. I'm trying to,
hey,
man.
Taj always keeping a bug.
He do, though. That's why I fool with Taj. I ain't going to hold you. I fool with Taj, man. I do. I fool with him. All right, right now, we should transition.
Speaking of dropping the bag, the Washington Wizards, they benched Jordan Poole, who played against his former team last night. Wole, you were present courtside, Cap One, covering this game. What's your thoughts about Jordan Poole being benched? And also, what do you think about the love that Jordan Poole received from his former teammates? I didn't see Draymond dap him up. Did you?
No, I didn't see him. They didn't do anything, though.
I saw Clay Thompson.
Paying attention to that joint, too. They ain't do nothing, bro. It was only like Clay. I don't think he interacted with Steph like that from what I saw. He may have, but I didn't see him interact with Steph. Yeah, man. Like, in terms of Jordan Poole, like, I agree with the benching. Like I've said this before, man, I think he's a horrible basketball player. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think, you know what I'm saying? You say, Wole with the courtside camera view. Thanks, Taj. I appreciate you. Like, I think, Paul, funny. He said Ice Spice coming off the bench.
I know, man. He be going in on, he goes in on Jordan Poole. Go ahead, though, bro. You got it.
No, but I'm like, so for me, as a basketball, I mean, anybody who's coached ball, watched ball, the issue with him is just like he gets full autonomy, bro, to do whatever he wants. And the stuff, and so for instance, I'm gonna read off actually because there was an article on actually friend of the show. So it was on Inside the Wizards by Karita Parks, friend of the show, and she referenced Poole talking about being a point guard for 3 years and now he's playing a different role. To me, it sounds like a big excuse, right? Because like he's saying that he has the ball on, he's used to having the ball in his hands. I'm watching this dude play. He has the ball in his hands a lot. What he does with the ball in his hands is the problem. Like he's trying to do and one stuff, turn the ball over. He takes bad shots. He's trying to do step backs that are covered. Like he's a talented dude. Like I'm not saying he ain't talented because he made it to the league. So he's talented. But in terms of basketball, I think Paul said it here. And I totally agree. His basketball IQ is low. And I know like Golden State is different. And I said before, playing in Golden State is a different animal. Because no one's really worried about Jordan Poole thoroughly. They're worried about Steph and Klay. So he has so much freedom because you're running off screens. You got to check Steph one-on-one. Jordan Poole is getting ISO players in ISO situations and freedom and space on the opposite side of the basketball court when them two dudes are on the court. So Jordan Poole, to me, when he compares that situation, this situation is totally different. And then when he played well when Steph and him were out for the injury, that's different because basically, you're playing with a blank canvas, and that's just you. You know what I'm saying? Here now in Washington, everybody's doing their game planning for you. You are on the scouting report. It says Jordan Poole. He's not that type of player. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm frustrated for players who didn't get this type of freedom, who I used to like and thought were better scorers than him, like a Michael Beasley. I'm mad that Michael Beasley never got this kind of freedom. If Michael Beasley had this type of freedom to throw all types of junk, step backs, trying to throw shots behind his back, dude, he would kill in this league. Or Cam Thomas. If Cam Thomas with the Wizards getting the freedom Jordan Poole gets, Cam Thomas would get 30 easy. Like, this dude gets so much freedom. And when I hear excuses about, well, you know, this is a different system for me. I'm used to having the ball in your hand. Dude, you have the ball in your hand. What's happening here?
I want to go back to a comment Michael Ward said. Who is the best player in the Wizards now? I haven't seen one game this year. And that speaks to the fact that
it's Kuzma.
There are a lot of fans who do not want to watch this team, period.
It's Kuzma, though.
And the thing is, though, I watch from home. And actually, in this discussion, I am a Wizards fan. Mm-hmm. And I told you this earlier, Wally. I said, I think with the right coaching, I put on X. Mm-hmm. With the right coaching, I think Jordan Poole can improve. Here's the thing. There were times where Steph and Klay were healthy, were in the lineup. And Jordan Poole will be playing with the second unit in Golden State. And he played really good basketball. I think his motivation level was different because he was trying to get paid. He also was trying to solidify his position in the league. And now he's gotten paid. He's lost sight of what got him to where he was and what got him paid and what helped him become a key contributor on a championship team. So with the right coach, a lot of you guys said Mark Jackson a couple weeks back. Mm-hmm. I like Sam Cassell. I think you can't go wrong with even one of those. A lot of you did not like Budenholzer, or at least not yet. Because you think this roster isn't ready to win now, then you get the right coach. I think he could find that guy again that made him the player he was in Golden State. Now, also, he's scoring more off the bench now, but they're not winning. They're not winning games because he's scoring more baskets. And I looked at them get off to a good start against Golden State. When they're sharing the ball, they're playing well. Mm-hmm. But there are times where the Wizards will have a lead. Let's say they lead by 8. And Jordan Poole, Kyle Kuzma does the same thing. They come down and they pull these long threes. It's like, why? Mm-hmm. It's like continue to move the ball. This is when Corey Kispert plays his best. When you see the rotation, the ball rotation, Corey Kispert catches it in rhythm, knocks it down. Mm-hmm. Team basketball is what's going to win because you do not have the individual talent as like other teams, like last night Golden State had. You saw, again, team play. A team that's been playing together longer has better chemistry. And Golden State didn't play their best game last night. Well,
no, there's off.
They were straight up.
Steph was off. No, Steph was off. Steph was off.
And to me, that's when you catch a team like that bleeding, that's when you go for the kill, bro. And the Wizards failed to do that last night. And Jordan Poole was part of that. Cam, like I said, you a ride or die, bro. And I'm not against Jordan Poole. I'm with you in terms of feeling like he can turn around. Because I feel like he's good enough. I just feel like they have to find their permanent coach. That's it. Point blank period, man. The Wiz right now, they're in a situation where you're going to be near the top of the draft, and there's no coming back from this season. I didn't understand why they moved Weston Sell Jr. when they did. It's a weird kind of season. I trust Michael Winger. I'm hoping he's going to turn this around. I think Ted made the right move by hiring some real front office people to make basketball decisions. But we all scratching our heads right now. Jordan Poole is what you could have got. Is what you could get in order to ship Chris Paul out, which I think that was the only move you could have made at that time for Chris Paul. So Jordan Poole, I'm not gonna say it's an excuse, but early in the season, what Kyle Kuzma said was, you remember, we talked about it on here. I talked about it. Well, he was out that day. I said, Kyle Kuzma was like, he's going from being like the fourth or fifth option
to the one,
to now being number one. And it's a hard transition. Yeah. Kyle Kuzma said, I myself had difficulty. So maybe this is a transition year for Jordan Poole.
So, I mean,
Paul is saying he'll be out the league. Bob Myers shouldn't have given that money. Colin Cowherd on TV earlier said that's the worst contract in the NBA right now.
Christopher said, would it be good for us if we call Chicago's bluff and let Williams fall? Oh, he's talking about the Commanders. Oh, they don't trade Fields, but I wouldn't be mad at it, though. He says, has Koulibaly much playing time? Yeah, he has. He was starting. Koulibaly was starting, Mike. He was starting. He didn't play last night because he was hurt. So let me add this, though, in terms of all that, like in terms of what you were talking about. The Warriors are a different beast because their style is a lot different. So he has a lot more freedom. There's ball movement, there's spacing. It's a little different. Now he has to play ISO ball, and he's doing his ISO thing, and he's just not – his ISO game isn't that trill enough to do what he's doing. Just to be true, I'm going to be honest with you. It's not Steph ISO, and he doesn't shoot like Steph. So, like, his jumper doesn't give him that much freedom in terms of how to give him an easy drive. It doesn't. He's just not there. You know what I'm saying? So, even and he's streaky. He's a streaky shooter. He's a good shooter. He's a streaky shooter, though. So, and then you're talking about playing, scoring more off the bench. He's scoring more off the bench, but he's taking 20 shots to score 20 to 30 points. His shooting percentage is still bad. You know what I mean? Other than the game he had 31, that's the only game he played well. But other than that, he still shot the ball pretty poorly from the field off the bench. Like they've even given him, like, in terms of even like what Keith has done off the, like, to put him on the bench and giving him really total control with the ball. He's still not an effective playmaker for himself or his teammates. So I ain't gonna lie to you. I think Keith has done a good job with him, better than what Unseld was doing, because I think that he's giving him more autonomy to do things with the basketball. Like, it's to a point where you just watch it. I remember I said this weeks ago. I said, for real, real talk, people don't want to have this conversation, but I think Corey Kispert is out playing Jordan Poole. Like, he should be starting over Jordan Poole. So when Keith made that decision, I was like, yeah. And if you watch yesterday's game, you'll be like, yeah. And if you watch it most of the season, you'll be like, yeah. Because even when they put Kispert in the starting lineup, he was scoring more. He scored 27 points and efficient.
Tyus Jones being your most consistent player, facts. Ball handler. My man Tosh said, too bad the team doesn't have a big that can run effective pick and roll.
I like Michael Bagley. I think he's Marvin Bagley. He's been good. He's been efficient.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, and Samori talked about KP. It's a full blown rebuild, Samori. That's why you see guys like Brad and KP get shipped out, because it's a full blown rebuild. The Wiz gonna have a really good draft pick. They're gonna be in position to get a good player coming into the league next year. I don't know who that's gonna be, if it's gonna be international. We'll see. That's what they went last year. So I'm interested to see how awesome, how they move forward, and if Jordan Poole is still on this roster, because I feel like if he did have trade value, it definitely is plummeted. I love you, Cam, but I just don't know. And then if Keith is coming back next season, I don't know if that's gonna help land free agents. If you want to land free agents, you're gonna have to make a splash at the head coaching position. And the Chocolate City, Taj, is still here. Is an attractive destination. You got the right people in place. Just saying.
Dribble ball.
Zach Edey, George. Yeah, maybe Zach Edey's a big body, man. You need that. But I don't know how high you're gonna take Zach.
He's gonna probably be later around. He won't be in the first.
Zach Edey needs to kill this tournament, George, in order for me to say he's going to be all right. They should win a chip with him at center at Purdue. All right, Wale. You got it, bro.
Now, did you read the Mike's comment? I'm not sure. Did you read Mike's comment?
About the.
I want to make sure I did.
Yeah. We'll see.
What position player should the Wizards
draft? They're going to have more ping pong balls, Mike. We don't know yet.
best player. Hey, Mike, I'm going to lie to you. Best player available. That's what they need. Best player available. That's where they're at. They're best player available. You think Denny's their best player? Denny's been streaky.
Man, I like Rob Dillingham out of Kentucky a whole lot, bro. But anyway, it's a whole nother discussion.
They got to draft Alex Sarr.
All right, okay, Wiz. Wiz getting some comments out here, man. Even though they got 9 wins, they just ahead of the Pistons.
I'm just saying, anyway. they need what? Could we have 4 more minutes before we can have introduce our next guest? But they need work, man. The Wizards need work. They need work.
Yeah,
need a lot of work.
I mean, I don't know if you got some people thinking Denny's the best player. That means his team needs to they need to add some talent. I mean, Paul, I'm with you, bro. But I'm just saying, like,
no. Add some talent. Denny really their best player. Nah, Kuz is. I ain't gonna lie to you. It's
Kuz. Be the pick.
Nah, Kuz their best player. I ain't gonna hold you. Kuz their best player. He's their best player for real.
But here's the thing though. Kuz stayed so he could continue to jack.
Yeah, I know. I know, but I'll be real though. But you know what's? I'm gonna be real.
Winning basketball, man.
Like they're not playing. They both not playing winning basketball. But I'll cue the buck. I don't like who's being compared to Jordan Poole because that's how OC Jordan Poole is. Like that's how OC Jordan. Like Jordan Poole is way more OC than Kuz. Ray, yes.
No. I'm not. I'm shaking my head. The thumbs up that came on my screen.
Oh, yeah,
I'm not shaking my head at you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not debating who the best player on the team is.
Yeah.
I think that Jordan Poole goes to the rack a little bit more than Kuz does, though. Or maybe is it about even?
No, it's no, because it's ugly Kuz, and it's not. Kuz, all right, Kuz so he goes to the hole. Yeah, he does. And so Kuz I agree. Crazy. No, he is. He goes to the hole. I'm not going to say he doesn't, but it's out of control. Like he has no chance to go in. Like it's a bad drive. No, real talk. It's a bad drive.
Like, I just don't like
then he gets mad, he'll throw his body and act like he got fouled, and there is no foul, and he gets mad that the refs don't give him the call.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't like when he's trying to make the highlight crossover real when you're down a dub and you're trying to yank somebody. I'm not feeling it. Again. Get your teammates involved. The Wizards, they've been competitive, definitely more competitive with Keith. I agree, but I'm just saying it hasn't translated to wins yet. And Jordan Poole was expected to be a top player on his squad. And I know he agrees he could play better. He agrees he could play better. He knows it. And that's why he's referenced. Hey, I'm still getting used to my role. I'm getting used to this. But he doesn't look hungry to me. But I could be wrong.
But anyway, I'm just going to say, like, the poll, I don't have the numbers, but the poll was a landslide that people want to get rid of Jordan Poole. So it's not like – I mean, I get rid. They thought the Wizards were fair by benching Jordan Poole. Just saying.
Okay.
It's a landslide. But anyway, enough about Jordan Poole, man. Enough about Jordan Poole. Our guest is in the queue, so it's time to talk boxing.
Let's do it. Bring him in, baby. Bring him in. Let's go.
Wait, Ray. Introduce my man, Ray.
Right now, we have Al Jones from WFNZ 92.7 FM radio show in the ring with Al Jones on the pod. Al, you know your family, bro. Welcome back, my guy. Looking good.
Fellas, thank you for having me. First and foremost, it is always a pleasure to chime in with you all and discuss boxing.
Hey, so Al,
but
real quick.
Before we do.
Go ahead. Go for it.
What's going on? No, before we do, and I know we just got rid of football.
Yeah.
But what's going on with the Commanders?
Okay. So Al, I want to talk to you about this, Al, because you're an Ohio dude. So exactly. Let my listeners know about Marvin Harrison Jr. real quick, because I feel like they don't know.
They don't know. Obviously, because he's the man.
They don't know. Like I've been trying to tell them, like that's who I want.
He is the man.
No.
don't mess around and do like Charlotte did. And pick Bryce over Stroud at quarterback.
See?
And you see what Stroud did this year with the Houston Texans.
All right.
So do not slip. I'm telling y'all now.
Do not
slip on Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm telling you, it'll be another big mistake, debacle that the Commanders have done.
I ain't arguing with you, Al.
In football history.
Al, I'm not arguing with you.
Tell me, what's wrong with Bienemy? What?
Oh.
Can you elaborate? Maybe I missed that episode, fellas. But what's going on with Bienemy? He was
under the wrong coach here. He was playing. Yeah, he was with the wrong coach here. But yeah, you know what? I don't know what he wanted. Wolesi's a Commanders fan. You see that? I don't know. Come on, bring his energy down. Listen, Bienemy had Sam Howell playing like one of the best quarterbacks in the league through about 10 or 11 weeks.
Yeah.
And then the team plummeted. The culture plummeted. They traded their two best defensive players, really their best defensive player, Montez Sweat, traded him to Chicago. And from that point on, man, it looks as though the team kind of gave in. Chase Young referenced it in San Francisco. Over there, those guys don't look forward to potential postseason run. The culture's bad. This culture, it wasn't a winning culture, essentially, is what he was saying. And Eric Bieniemy unfortunately became a casualty of that bad culture. That was kind of a leftover of the former owner. So that's my assessment, really.
So let me give you mine. So one, so for Eric, so I will put some blame on Eric Bieniemy. Is that he didn't run the ball enough, you know what I'm saying, not giving Sam Howell, you know, some type of backup in terms of running the football, right? Okay. But also, I felt like he was trying to progress Sam Howell. Like, he was trying to give him a quick learning curve and try to get him to a certain level. But the whole, the issue a lot of folks have here is that he didn't run the ball enough. Like, but my thing is that, like, he didn't have the best offensive unit to really break him down and say he was this and he was that. Because I do think, compared to what Washington had in the past, like the years before, like, he was scoring 30. We've never scored 30 with the prior offensive coordinator. Like, we were scoring 30 three, four times a season. And then Sam Howell at the time was, like what Ray mentioned, he was up there in passing yardage as a quarterback, not first-year quarterback as quarterback. So I do think, you know, Eric Bieniemy had some good things here, but like Ray said, I do think the staff being with this staff and whatnot, and also I think his big detriment to him was him not like running the football. That's what this fan base will tell you.
Really?
Like, he didn't run the football at all. Like, for real, he didn't. But I do think there was some good though. Like, so I would have liked for him to get another opportunity. Because I'd like his style. Like, a lot of people don't. A lot of today's players, they're soft.
Right. They babies.
So they like, when somebody's hard on them, like, oh my God. Why is he treating me this way? So I'm like, I like that style for me.
Right. And we know
he brought the football.
We come from the tough love.
Yeah.
We come from tough love. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like,
and our coach gonna let us know when we messed up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's gonna let us know when we messed up, and he's gonna let us know when we did a great job also.
Yeah.
Hey, my man Samori said he was out. Eric Bieniemy stayed getting hold. That, I mean, 100%. Hey, shout out to my man Samori, man. Go check him out. Hey, Samori, man, put a plug in there for your radio show, brother. You just like Al Jones, you're doing
big things out here,
bro.
Appreciate it. He's refusing to show up for any other pregame. Yeah, because he's too good for it. This is why. Look, I'm see, like, people talking about the combine. He too good for it. I'm gonna keep it a buck. Like, when you're that good, when you are far ahead of the other wide receivers, there's no need to do the work.
Right.
Other than your pro day. Just do your pro day. Right. That's when you're that. I don't have an issue with him not doing any of the work in the combine, or Caleb Williams. I mean, I have no issue with that. Because when you're better than that, when you're deemed the best of everybody.
Right.
Quarterback, receiver, there's no need.
No.
There's no need.
Just like when Coach Prime.
Yeah.
When he showed up at the combines, jumped out the limousine, run a 4.3 40, and jumped back in, he was gone.
Yeah. Like, that's what I'm saying. There's no need. Like,
that's what Deion Sanders did.
Yeah.
That's what Deion Sanders did. He was just invited to the combine. He showed up in a limo. Ran a 4.2, 4.3 40 and jumped back in and was gone.
Hey, see, Al, you know, we in the same age bracket, and people not gonna remember a lot of that stuff. But it is a different day and age we live in now. I agree with you on that one. But one thing about us, Al, on this show, and shout out to Taj, who was listening. Dujane, I haven't seen him tonight, but you know, I got a younger son, he likes WWE. And you know, WWE has a lot of theatrics, man. It's a lot of role playing to build up fights. April 20th, Barclays Center.
And WBC speaking of lightweight WWE, champion, that's so interesting how you brought that up.
Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia.
Ryan Garcia reminds me of a Jake Paul WWE type guy.
I told you. That's exactly what I'm saying. That's why I was going there.
Hey, that was an excellent lead. I appreciate that. I had to do it myself. But that was and this is not scripted here, people. Just how we both feel on this fight coming up April 20th with Devin Haney versus Ryan Garcia.
Yeah.
And Ryan Garcia reminds me so much of Jake Paul right now. Because he doesn't have the skill set. He has just been outclassed in this particular matchup versus Devin Haney. Devin Haney has seen so many with Loma Chico, Linares. I mean, we have an excellent, Devin Haney has a great resume, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does.
His resume is great, bro. And it's just two separate classes. Yep. But what Ryan Garcia has, he does have a few pluses. He does have the ability. They have seen each other in the amateurs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They met 6 times in the amateurs. And it's like they're 3-3.
Mm-hmm.
So he has the experience. It's just like that. Like that dude that we fought in high school, you know, in school rivalry.
Like Shane Mosley and what's his name?
Right. We know how they gonna move. You know what I'm saying? In any sport. Yeah. We know how they're going to move. Mm-hmm. So that is an advantage. But it's not the same Devin Haney that he saw back in the amateurs.
Facts.
This is a brand new Devin Haney now. Mm-hmm. And Ryan Garcia is going to be outclassed, but it's a great platform for Devin Haney to excel, to capture a different audience, the same as Devontae Tank Davis did.
Mm-hmm.
Tank did the same thing. Ryan Garcia advanced Tank's career on an international level.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what Devin Haney lacks in capturing an entirely different crowd. So, yeah, he's going to be, Ryan Garcia is going to be outclassed.
Is it Jake Paul? Jake Paul.
Right?
Hey, you got a question.
Type thing, you know.
You got a question. Does it go past 5 in your eyes? Devin Haney don't knock nobody out.
That's what I'm saying. It's going past five, bro.
I'm giving it 8, though.
You got Devin Haney getting him out of there. Devin Haney, I mean, I know he'll dominate. I think Devin Haney will dominate the fight. But I don't think he's knocking him out.
Totally dominated. Not a knockout, but a TKO in 8.
Okay. So, let me ask you this real quick. Because to your point, you think Devin Haney's going just outbox. Devin Haney's an excellent boxer. We know that. But Ryan Garcia is noticeably bigger now. Like, you see, he got a fuller face. He got a bigger frame. Like
steroids,
I said, they're doing all these kind of scripted buildups, and you just see he look a little huskier. Do you think that'll play a role in terms of Devin Haney, who does not have power? Like my man Lyskin Lou said, if you ain't have power by now, you ain't gonna just wake up tomorrow with it.
Yeah,
right. You think he could knock out a 175 on fight night? Ryan Garcia is gonna weigh about 170, 175 probably. Mm.
Right, absolutely, and so will Devin. Devin's going to rehydrate to a 170, 175 fighter also.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be evenly matched once that rehydration jumps in, you know, after they weigh in at the 140. So that's not going to be a problem for either fighter. You know, and even when Ryan Garcia came up against Luke Campbell, Luke Campbell was still... And his skill set is nowhere near Devin Haney's. And Luke Campbell was able to drop Ryan Garcia.
True.
You know, so that's not going to be a problem. It's It's really gonna be. I mean, it's really an uneven match.
Mm.
I mean, I don't want to. I'm just saying that right now. I don't want to put a prediction.
I know we're not. Yet. We don't want prediction right now. I don't want to put a prediction because that's right. Like, we're closer to the fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because we gotta get to the fight. To
exactly. Fight. Exactly. Exactly.
And that's when my decision will be made.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, as far as the odds are concerned and weighing things out, you know, everything is you know, majority of things are going in Devin Haney's favor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I definitely will, you know, look forward to seeing this match. It's gonna be an interesting bout. You know, based upon the experience of Ryan Garcia being in the ring with Devin Haney. So, I mean, it's going to be a good fight. I want to see the advancement of Devin Haney's career. You know, I can see some – because both of them, they're really friends in the way they act.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, you know it. Yeah, that's why I said WWE, like, it's
scripted. Exactly.
Even Devin Haney's team was like, get
close to him, man. It's personal.
Push me a little bit.
It's personal.
So it's so obvious. But one thing is, I don't know if you've been watching the build-up, Al. Haney's already saying he's probably going to target Subriel Matias next, who is scary because he don't stop coming forward. I don't care how many times you hit that dude. He gets hit a lot, a la like Rocky. You remember Rocky used to get hit 80 times in that movie.
Right.
Subriel Matias gets hit a lot. But when he throws, he's throwing to kill you. Stylistically, is that a good matchup? If what happens if Devin Haney beats Ryan Garcia, like you think it is? Okay.
No. Matias, he's one dimensional. He's like Rowley.
I don't like him either. Yeah, I don't like him either.
He's like Rowley.
You should see our. He's
one dimensional.
You should see our. So you should. It's wild, Matias. We have a YouTube video with Gary Antoine Russell. And
the boogeyman.
Yeah. And,
no one mentions Gary Antoine.
No, Russell. He don't. But see, and they don't. And Matisse, because he mentioned Matisse, he mentioned him. And everybody, a lot of folks on the channel was like, he don't want no Matisse. He don't want no. And I'm like sitting here like, come on, y'all.
Right.
Like, come on.
Right.
So it's wild, y'all. I'm glad y'all mentioned him because I feel like folks really have this thought process of him like he's a guy that can touch a boxer like that for real. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Al, we got a question for you. So is that Garcia's career arc good enough to get his ass whooped by an upcoming superstar? I appreciate you, Taj. What you think? You think this is like the
he's a gatekeeper now? He's a right gatekeeper?
Here? Yes, yeah. Because he has the fan base.
Mm.
Ryan Garcia has the fan base, man. I mean, the Mexican, our people, our brown people love Ryan Garcia.
They do.
You know, they love Canelo. They love Benavidez. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right.
So they have such a huge fan base.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be so glad. I would be so glad to see Devin Haney capture at least some of that fan base. Because a lot of them going to walk away upset.
Mm-hmm.
But if he can capture a few fans, that would be great, man. Because our Latino brothers and sisters, they just have a huge fan base, man.
They do in the boxing game. They do. So So I'm gonna ask this question. For Ryan Garcia's sake, do you see this as the biggest fight of his career right now? Where he's trying in terms of his mental, is this the biggest fight of his career?
No, I really think the biggest fight of his career was against Tank.
Okay.
You know, Javante Tank Davis, who right now, quote unquote, is the face of boxing.
Yeah.
That was the biggest fight of his career.
Mm.
To go against a Javante Tank Davis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that was it. So now, if he loses.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Like I said, back to Jake Paul.
Yeah.
If he loses. A lot of people know, okay, yeah, it's just
I get you. I get you. Because I'm thinking I'm thinking if you were serious, you into being a serious boxer, like this is the fight that can get, if you win this fight, you're not a gatekeeper. You're back to being a prize fighter. But if you lose this fight, it's it. You are straight up real
thrown
along. You're done. So the Tank fight is the more popular fight. Definitely, I agree. The Tank fight was the biggest fight.
Right.
In terms of self, at this particular point in time, self-importance. Like, I feel like if you get dominated in this fight, forget winning or losing. If you get dominated in this fight,
right,
you might as, like, real talk, because he's still relatively young, you might as well think about stop boxing, be real with you. I'm keeping
right.
It
you the gate. Now
yeah, because you're just going to have one role, and that's it. Like, you're going to be. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
In terms of, a, yeah, Gamboa, exactly.
Right.
And the only reason you'll be getting fights is because a Gamboa or, what's my man, that the guy, what's my guy? Adrian Broner. Like, a guy that people would just want to fight because you bring, there's a certain clash, there's a certain type of popularity with you. Like, I want to see a Broner going to do. Oh, I want to see, like, Ryan Garcia, he got a social media followers. I want to see who you can bring them over here so I can get that rub. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So, I just feel like if you're a serious boxer, if he's a serious boxer and he really has a passion for it, in my opinion, this got to be his biggest fight. Because if you lose this fight, you're a gatekeeper. And nobody wants to really be a gatekeeper.
Right.
Is it a bad thing, though? I'm this is not my stance. But is it a bad thing if your resume just has two losses to Haney and Tank? That's not bad to me.
It ain't bad.
You're losing two of the top guys. Now, I still see a matchup versus Teofimo, even though the Jermaine Ortiz fight, he moved around a lot, ran, whatever you want to call it. But Teofimo against Ryan Garcia would still draw a big crowd, and that's what it's about.
Oh, it would draw.
It's about making money.
The blemishes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so it's not...
I watch my stock every day. You know what I'm saying? and I watch how it ups and down and how it goes and lowers. So your stock depletes every time you take that L.
I'm nervous about him being with Golden Boy if he's going to become the guy y'all saying he is. Oscar De La Hoya already, to me, at times disdains the decisions he's made. So he has it out for him because he said before his last fight, before he got that knockout, he said, Ryan has never become a world champion. And he had a smile on his face, like, because he annoys him. Now he publicly squashed the beef with Bernard, you know.
But that's like he's just playing promoter role now.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
Oscar is just playing. He's taking the neutral route on this.
Right.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was good to see the beef with squash yesterday. In the press conference with him and Bernard Hopkins. Bernard can't stand Ryan, Devin Haney and
no,
Bill Haney.
Don't like him at all.
Yeah.
He hates both of them. But the beef was squashed between him and Ryan yesterday. Publicly.
Publicly.
Right.
Publicly. That's
but
WWE.
But with everything being said, Eddie Hearn is the secondary promoter.
Mm-hmm.
And Golden Boy Oscar De La Hoya is the primary promoter in this fight. So, with all things being said, it's a good situation for Ryan and Devin, with both of them with Oscar being in the middle and saying, "I'm not going against you, Devin, at all, and I'm not going against you, Ryan, at all. I'm just going to sit back and just play promoter on this one."
Wale, do we have enough time? I mean, we over a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead.
I got to talk to you about PBC as well because
that's a question. We got a question.
Go ahead.
Todd has a question. So, what's next for Terrence Crawford? Is Canelo fight still on, or was I dreaming?
Hey, it's a good question, Todd. It's a good question. They both
great
are gone
question.
For PBC.
Great question.
So, what's your thought, man? What's your thought,
well,
man?
Well, you know, Canelo has parted ways with PBC.
Yep.
As of now, he's parted ways with PBC. He can't get a fight. And Bud Crawford, we don't expect really to see a rematch.
Nope.
Against Spence. I don't see that coming anytime. If it does, not anytime soon. So Crawford, expect to hear Crawford being, a free agent as well.
Really?
Okay. I don't see anybody already that they can really match up in the PBC family. In the family, I can't see anybody really matching up with Crawford.
To fight him, yeah. I got you.
To fight him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Well, see, that's why I asked. I asked you that because, so it's already been rumored that since the rematch clause with Errol has expired, so has his contract with PBC, basically, because he was only tied to an Errol fight and then an Errol rematch. So Crawford is gone. Canelo is gone. Benavidez is moving up now. He's going to potentially move on to try to challenge Bivol or BetterBF. The PBC it's so much chatter about if they're even going to stay around. You got so many fighters who are wondering. Gary, that's why I was saying, I don't even know what's going to happen with PBC. What do you see as the future of PBC? And who can help Al Haymon get back to where he was at one point, where he was putting on the best fights? Because one name mentioned was Tim Zhu fighting Crawford. I think that's still a good fight at 54. That could help the PBC, because Amazon will need big fights. Keith Thurman ain't it to me in terms of you trying to keep the money flowing.
Right, right. Well,
and he light skin.
You still have Javante Tank Davis.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Facts. Facts.
The face of boxing right
facts.
Now.
Facts.
You still have Javante. PBC still has Javante with Tank. True. You know, and he's part of the DMV. You know what I'm saying? So
the Baltimore. It's not DMV. It's Baltimore. It's
go ahead. Go ahead. No,
okay. Baltimore. It's a separate.
No, because Monique did it. Monique did it. No. Because Monique did it, and then we had to on this Uncle Shay Shay thing. That had to be corrected.
Right. So I stand correct.
No, I'm saying that she's not. It's different. And I love Baltimore. I'm just letting they would say the same thing. I'm just saying they would say
right. Right. They in their own separate world over there. They different. Right. So, with all being said, I really like. I mean, PBC has Tank. Mm-hmm. He's a dynamic fighter. PBC has, they still have Tim Zhu, mm-hmm. who is a dynamic fighter. He's dominant. He's dominating. They still have Benavidez, who is dominating. So PBC still has a lot of top fighters, even though, and a lot of others coming up in the rank.
Yeah.
So, don't count them out yet, The future is still bright. You know, Amazon Prime and Al Haymon's going to bring it with Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime didn't sign that contract without knowing what the future has in state.
Good point.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that perspective because, like I said, if you look on social media, PBC has his haters. Al Haymon has his haters.
Big haters.
I understand that, but I do think that he fumbled Canelo away. Now, nobody wanted to see Canelo versus Jamal, and that was the biggest disagreement between them. And I don't understand for the life of me why Canelo, as a Mexican fighter, will not fight Benavidez
on one of those holidays.
I don't
because he didn't know he'll take an L.
He's scared. He knows. We know this, right? We've been saying it.
Benavidez is a big dude. Benavidez is too big for his weight class. We know that.
Exactly.
But I'm just saying, Canelo, he moved up. Eddie Reynoso keeps saying, we fought Bivol. Okay, well, you might as well fight Benavidez. You have won. Look how many times he's fought as a professional. He's never ducked anybody. He fought Floyd, for goodness sakes, before he was number one. I just feel like that fight, Amazon Prime would have definitely been more willing to spend on PBC if that fight would have happened. But it that's all hypothetical. I'm glad you pointed that out. I don't know if Frank Martin is the opponent everybody wanted to see Tank. Well, they had a question about, should Tank have been fighting like a Devin Haney or Devin Haney's at 140.
It's
Tank is going back to 140.
It's a question right now. It's a question.
Go ahead. All right.
Taz has a question. Is there any way David takes on Stevenson, or did Stevenson hurt his stock in the past fight performance? So this is for you, Al.
Well, with Tank fighting Shakur,
uh-huh.
it's going to be, now we're dealing with PBC and Top Rank.
Top Rank, yeah.
So now the politics is involved.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully they can come to some type of agreement, just like they did with Wilder and Fury.
Sure, yeah.
Hopefully they can come to some type of agreement. I would love to see that fight. That's a great fight in boxing. I think it would definitely sell from a business standpoint and from a boxing standpoint. That's a good fight, and that's a great question. I mean, hopefully we can see that. Shakur, doesn't need to be left out of this equation.
Not at all.
Talented, he brings it. He's a talent. Yeah. And they can't isolate him. But see, that's the thing with Top Rank. Top Rank is just a build. If you notice, Top Rank just builds fighters. You got to, once you really get to a certain level,
you got to roll out.
You got to leave Top Rank and come on over to the Golden Boys, to the PBCs, so you can begin to get those prize fights and make some money. So I hope, hopefully once this contract is up with Top Rank, I hope to see Shakur Stevenson go ahead and elevate his career and get into, you know, and get into these major fights, which he deserves.
He's too good. He's too good for this. I'm
sorry. My last question for you, Al, because I see a lot of chatter is, who started this A side, B side bull crap? I think it was Roy. But a lot of people blame Floyd. But I remember distinctly Bernard Hopkins getting in the ring. Well, no, he wasn't in the ring. Yeah, Bernard
Hopkins.
Oh,
yeah. Roy was at home. Yeah, I remember
and,
that.
And Bernard said, come on, Roy, fight me. He said 60-40.
Yeah.
I'll whoop up on you. But other than that, I ain't fighting you. I feel like since that time, everybody's negotiating who's the best. Because that's the knock on Shakur right now. He ain't the A side. He got to take what we give him. Now, Errol, he took that to heart, and he fought everybody. He went across the pond. He fought Kell Brook. I think Shakur is going to have to go that route. Don't worry about the money. Go ahead and fight Haney. I don't care.
Shakur be doing that, though.
Right. Just go hard. Right. And I think then Shakur will get the fights, because that whole A-side, B-side thing, I think it started back then. Is that what you feel? How do you get rid of
the A-side, B-side? You know, it's been around for a couple decades now. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's garbage.
It is, man.
It means nothing. You know, who's going to come out in the ring walk first? Who's going to come out second? You know what I'm saying?
Or the X handle, like when they do the hashtag, who's the first?
Right.
In the hashtag.
Exactly.
It's all that's hilarious to me.
Yeah, it's some Decimo Diva stuff. You know, nothing to really worry about. It's Diva. You know, it doesn't matter. All of it's over once you jump into the ring.
True.
Once that bell goes off and we say fight, that's all that matters the most. So, you know, it that doesn't matter, man. The pay is the pay. The contract is signed in the beginning, whether A side or B side. You know, it doesn't have an influence on the judges.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it as far as the point scales are concerned, it doesn't really determine the favor. The bookies determine the favor. Whether it doesn't matter what side you are. You know, Vegas determines the favorite of the fight. Mm-hmm. Whether you minus 250 or plus 250, that's determined by Vegas. And it's not determined upon which are you A or B.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so with all things considered, it's senseless. It means nothing. You know, it's just something to get into another fighter's head, more so than I'm concerned. That's how I see that, man.
Man, we could talk to you about boxing all day, bro, but we got to kind of close the show out. Before we close it out, Al, how can folks catch your radio show, and also how can they find you on social media?
Yeah, 92.7 FM. You know, I'm all over the world, man. Got some real big things coming on, man.
You are, though. Real talk.
Yeah. It's some real big things coming off this year. You know, also AJ in the ring. AJ in the ring on IG, in the ring with Al Jones on all other social media platforms. I'm here. You got any questions, feel free to watch me. You know, feel free to reach out to me, hit me in the DM. I'm available. And it's nothing like, you know, and I appreciate the callers and the listeners coming in today, sending their questions in. Mm-hmm. And you can always, it's always a pleasure to catch me on you guys' show, man.
Man, Al, you know it, man. We love having you on. It's always
real
talk.
Yeah, I love being on here, man.
it's always real talk. Man, Al, thanks for being on, man. We're going to try to get you on again. Hopefully after the fight.
Okay. And Frank and Tank. We got to talk about Frank and Tank.
Oh, I know. I want to talk about that one, too. I do kind of want to talk about that one. We'll talk about that one. All right, we'll definitely do that. All right, Al, we'll do that. That will be the next one. All right, Al.
Peace. All right, fam.
Peace. Oh, man. Yeah, we got to talk about that fight. Because I'm interested in that fight.
Frank the Ghost Martin getting paid $1.2 million. Mm-hmm. Just 200. Oh no, that's 200,000 more than Shakur offered him. Which is interesting. So because Shakur was like $1 million to fight me is your biggest payday. So now he's getting a couple hundred thousand more to fight Tank. And Tank is a more dangerous puncher.
Fire puncher, and he's more money. And he's more.
The potential gate is probably going to be a little bit bigger. So he's going to make more in the long run.
Yeah.
So that's why he took this fight as opposed to the Shakur fight. You know, this is a business, and I understand that you got to make as much money as you can. no doubt. And you want to make sure that you're as healthy as you can be toward the end of your career. Naga, but hey, shout out to him. Shout out to all the folks that listen in tonight. It's been a dope discussion. Commander's discussion was great. Marvin Harrison Jr., while none of us believe that's going to happen, I think the argument tonight was compelling. Yeah. Sam Howe, should he stay in town? We seeing some stuff. Yeah. We're going to talk about that on our other show.
Check
that
out too. Yeah.
All Burgundy and Gold, everything with the Urban Sports scene. That's on Fox Sports Radio 96.9 and 1340 AM. Listen, holla at us, man. It's going to be dope. It's going to be fire all the way up into the draft and after, of course, the preseason. The Wizards the only one that's like, you know, once the season's over, we can't even talk playing this year. We'll talk lottery. But hey, Dujane, thanks for pulling up, bro. I checked you out early as well.
Me too. Friend. I checked you out. I checked him out. Definitely. Yeah.
So
yeah,
go subscribe to the Not Bland Show. Mm-hmm. Hey, Taj, appreciate you for coming through, man. Taj, you got to join us on camera one of these days, bro.
Real talk.
If you down, man. I'm out next week, bro. So you can put like be a Dawson show next week.
Actually, we may not have a show. On Wednesday. I may do another day, though.
Taj, pull up. Well, if you do another day, I might be on there. I just got I got a lot going on.
Appreciate you, Paul.
It wouldn't be bad, bro.
Appreciate you, Paul.
We'll see what that look like. But hey, Paul, no doubt. Yeah,
appreciate you, Paul.
All our listeners, man. Shout out to my man Samori.
He said I'm now rooting for I'm gonna put this out there. Hold on. He said I'm now rooting.
I know, I seen that.
Hey, yo, what the hell? Oh man, appreciate
shout
you,
out
man.
To shout out to George, Cam, POV, everybody who came through tonight, man. Let me see if it was a lot tonight, man.
It's a lot, bro.
My man Michael Ward came through, man. He got some Wizards education because he ain't been watching this year. Yeah. If they get a new stadium, maybe Mike may come out and watch them. Chris, everybody who came out, man, whether you were on YouTube, Facebook, thanks for rocking with us, man. Continue to support us and hey man, the love is mutual. Know that much.
Definitely. Anyway, y'all, thank you all for tuning in. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Fall ages. Deuces. We out.